Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and I'm in Buck's studio, one of the largest radio studios in the Midwest, because we have a special guest who'll be making use of our Mason and Hamlin grand piano. Stuart Goodyear is quite an accomplished artist whose career crosses genres. He's a concerto soloist, a chamber musician, and a composer. And he's going to be performing in Wisconsin this evening with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. He's also performed with some of the greatest orchestras around the country and the world. And his work has been performed by them as well. And he's become an audience favorite in Wisconsin. Well, welcome back to our state, Stuart.
Great welcome. Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for coming. We really appreciate it. Before we get started with all the music, tell me how you got started. Did you grow up with a musical family?
I grew up with a family of music lovers, and they were very supportive. I wanted to be a concert pianist since I was 3 years old, and that was actually the first time that I heard the music of Beethoven.
You're kidding. 3 years old? You heard the music of Beethoven, and that was it?
It just struck a chord. There was a pulse inside, and my life was determined. It was defined right at that moment.
Wow. So when did you start taking lessons?
I started taking lessons when I was around 7. In the meantime, I was playing a lot by ear, improvising whatever I heard on LP and on radio.
Wow. Well, and how about the composing? When did that start for you?
The composing started when I was 8. I attended a choir school in Toronto, and my first compositions were motets for the choir. And then I wanted to compose for orchestra and for different ensembles. So I was always buying scores and just studying instrumentation and how the instruments worked.
Wow, at such a young age. Well, and you come from a long line then of composers who started as choir boys.
That's right.
Many, many get a start that way. Well, you've done an amazing special project featuring all of the Beethoven sonatas. And I read that you had done a recording project over a span of 5 days, but now you're doing a performance. Tell us about that.
When I first heard the sonatas, it was like a one-day cycle. I was going through all of the 13 LPs, just one after the other. I just couldn't get enough, and I felt like my day would not be complete until I went through all 32. It was a real roller coaster ride, and the more I listened, the more I wanted to hear the next sonata. So I had this idea in my mind that this was almost like a large song cycle, and because these sonatas are an intimate diary, I just thought playing them in chronological order would be equivalent to spending a day with a captivating personality and seeing emotional emotional arcs. So there are there's courtship, there's love, there's rage, there's passion, there's defiance, and ultimately spiritual awakening at the end.
Wow, what a unique concept and what a wonderful way of looking at all those works. And yes, they do. They move us and they tell his story a little bit, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why don't we hear something? Would you like to start with one of the sonatas or an excerpt?
I'll start with one of his most famous sonatas, the Moonlight, the so-called Moonlight Sonata. In my liner notes in the box set, I thought it was so interesting that someone nicknamed the sonata the Moonlight. I would call it the Thunderstorm Sonata because the first movement has this very unsettling quiet about it, almost as if a storm is going to erupt. The sky is very, very black. So here is the Thunderstorm Sonata.
All right.
Thank you.
the first movement from Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, performed by my guest Stuart Goodyear. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Midday on Wisconsin Public Radio. And Stuart Goodyear is the guest this evening with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. Well, he'll be performing some music of Beethoven, the Choral Fantasy for piano and chorus and orchestra, as well as his own piano concerto. And you can find information about that. We've put a link on our Facebook page at just look for classical music on WPR, and you can find all of the information. What is it about that particular movement that almost makes you want to weep? It's just beautiful.
I think with Beethoven, there's absolutely no inhibitions when it comes to what Beethoven communicates. He just it seems like the whole human experience is explored.
It really is. And we'll hear some of that tonight as well in the Choral Fantasy. When you play that, do you hear a little bit of the ninth, the Ode to Joy, in that piece?
There are, I guess, similarities with the structure, in which there is this very dramatic minor opening that just shatters any kind of reverie. And then it goes through many different harmonic corners until it finally reaches the hymn. It's another hymn of joy. And instead of there's something a little similar in the melody. So I guess, you know, there are some similarities there. And then, of course, there's this rousing choral statement at the very end that gets the audience pumping. I think the piece was originally written to close a four-hour concert done in 1808. At this concert, the very famous Fifth Symphony was premiered, the Sixth Symphony, the Pastoral, A Perfido, the Fourth Piano Concerto, and Beethoven, before the Choral Fantasy, did an improvisation that lasted around 8 to 9 minutes, and then he just went to the Choral Fantasy. So with the Choral Fantasy, it started with Beethoven, the star of the four-hour event, then solo instruments in the orchestra having a shout, soloists that participated in selections of the Mass, as well as A Perfido, and then finally everybody, the chorus. So it's a very rousing finale, not dissimilar to the 1812 Overture, in which the composer saves the fireworks for last with the cannons. There is a big cannon at the very end, you know, figuratively speaking,
right,
for the Choral Fantasy.
Right, and all forces will be on the stage tonight for that as well. You've got a choral group, a couple of choral groups, I think, coming together for
Absolutely. It.
Yeah, and the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, that'll be wonderful. Well, going back to your cycle of sonatas, I mean, Beethoven was used to having these long performances. When you do all 32 in one day, do you take a break, or how do you manage that physically?
We all take a few breaks. So there are lunch and dinner breaks that are scheduled for the day. And the way I have it structured, the first part explores Beethoven in his youth, in which he was now discovering himself, discovering his personality, and experimenting right and left. And then the second, many people call the sonatas that were written around that time the heroic chapter in his life, in which he was now coming to terms with his loss of hearing, and it was a choice between whether or not he's going to give up or whether or not he's just going to push forward, and his defiance won. And the third, there is anger, but there is more reflection that is explored in the third part. So we leave on a very peaceful note.
He almost goes through spiritual growth towards
Absolutely.
The end. Yeah, yeah. On the program tonight is also one of your own compositions, a piano concerto. And in the notes for the concert, it says 2010 and revised in 2014. So I want to ask you about that. And I know it was premiered right here in Wisconsin as part of our Peninsula Music Festival on Door County. So how did you come to premiere your work in Wisconsin? And then why don't you tell us about the revisions that you've made and so forth?
The Peninsula Music Festival and I go way back. Well, it feels like way back. I guess the first time that I performed there was in 2006. And the audience that I grew intimately, I got to know a lot of the audience members throughout my stay. There would be picnics that a lot of the committee would host for a lot of the musicians, and it's just a wonderful family feeling. And I always look forward to going back to that festival. There's just this feeling of harmony.
Oh, so glad to hear that.
And I felt when they asked me to write a piano concerto for the Peninsula Music Festival, all of the audience members chipped in for the commission fee. So it is really a concerto for each and every audience member.
Wow, so I didn't realize that.
It was a very special occasion. When the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra invited me to perform this again, this will be my second performance of the work. Because it was a chamber orchestra, I felt, you know, to have a more chamber feeling, that's why I revised a few. Most of what is revised is the first movement. Mm-hmm. It's just more tightly knit.
Okay. Tell us about your symphony, your concerto. It's in two movements, and how did you come to it, and what informs it?
It is very much inspired by the Mozartian concerto, and it's written with the same forces as a Mozart orchestra. So the first movement is very much in sonata form. What makes it different is it is also a celebration of my ethnic background, which is half Trinidadian and half British. So there are those elements as well.
So does the Trinidadian part, does any of that Southern Caribbean flavor creep into the music?
Yes. Many flavors creep into the music. The British side and the Trinidadian side and the Mozart side.
Sounds like a neat synthesis. Can you give us just a little feel for some of it?
So the first theme is... the orchestra also has this melody that comes in many times. And you'll hear that a lot.
And I hear a little bit of Caribbean rhythm in that
There is some, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's really neat.
The second movement starts with the piano part simmering on top. While the orchestra has this melody. Second movement again goes back to the traditional classical concerto, in which it is in ternary form. So we have the first theme that I just played. The second theme is a little livelier. then it goes back to the first theme, and then as opposed to the ending being softer, like in a typical second movement, it goes louder, and there's a little bit of a finale that is linked to the second movement. It's kind of like a rondo. So the first theme... starts that out, and that's it is not necessarily a melodic theme, but it's the first theme, and it repeats just like A B A C A. The B theme is, first theme, and there is a variation of that B theme, and then the C theme, and then the D theme. Which you will recognize is the theme for the second movement. So that comes in together. And then the piano takes over. And then back to A. And it closes the first that closes the whole movement, and then you'll hear some themes coming back in the first movement, and then there's a rousing finale at the end.
Oh, it sounds like it's got so much vitality and energy and power.
Well, I hope the audience likes
it. Well, it's gotten some great reviews. I've certainly read some wonderful reviews online, and I'm sure the audience will like it.
Thank you.
You have also done some works for choruses, and I think I saw that you did one based on a Beatles song. Is that right?
This was, oh my goodness, that feels like, it isn't another lifetime ago, but it feels, it was a totally different way of composing. This is when I was now doing recital tours, and I always wanted to write variations on a theme, but there were no themes that were really inspiring me until I heard for the first time, believe it or not, Eleanor Rigby.
Oh.
And I thought, well, now I have my theme, and I wrote 20 variations on him.
Neat. Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing your time and talent with us on the midday today, Stuart. Would you like to close with some little excerpt that we can say goodbye to you with?
How many minutes do we have?
Oh, about a minute and a half. Put you on the spot a little bit.
30 seconds.
All right.
Of the Appassionata.
Wow.
I wish I could play more.
Talk about passion and power. Stuart Goodyear is the pianist, and he will also be on stage this evening with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra in a program that also includes the Mozart Ave Verum Corpus, the Beethoven Choral Fantasy, for which he'll be playing his own piano concerto, and the Beethoven Symphony No. 3, a great program. You can find information at wcoconcerts.org, and you can find more about Stuart Goodyear, including all kinds of wonderful YouTube videos, at stuartgoodyear.com.